What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Wow! It's alive!
And away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,171. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and my car,
Montgomery!
And you are in the Men's Room. On tap today, Taryn Daly from the Daily Mix Morning Show joins us once again. We will sit and spin. And today, we go to the Hee-Haw Well with the 10 funniest country songs of all times. We will play Profile This. Plus headlines, the Men's Room Shot of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clack.
All right, here we go to Norway, where excess tree growth leads to boom and Viking ship sails. We head to the South Pacific, where giant crabs invade homes that can tip the scales. Canadian authorities looking for those who stole a statue's head. Puyallup family looking for their pet emu who said F it and fled. And Michigan looks to be one of the first spots for a marijuana-friendly music venue. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Okay. Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, if you have children or if you work in the medical field, there's a very good chance that you've had poop, pee, blood, vomit, pus, and or snot on you. And look, it's neither glamorous nor ideal, but it's a reality that you accept. Because again, it involves children or a medical patient. But it gets a whole lot less acceptable when the culprit is a drunk stranger. You might remember last week when a man in Massachusetts was arrested at a Kenny Chesney concert after he peed on a woman's cowboy boots. But that is a lot better than a woman on the subway in Tokyo. She was ejaculated on by a fellow passenger. I think we can all agree that that is not cool. But as we always say, it could be worse. A woman on the New Jersey beach, she did not get urine or semen on her. No, she got a police truck on her while sunbathing. You see, the cop's truck ran her mostly over, but came to a stop on top of her. So now ask yourself, would you rather have a truck on top of you or a mountain lion? A five-year-old kid in California, he was playing with friends at a family picnic when he was attacked by a cougar. Now, like the woman under the truck, he too survived. And look, we have all kinds of stories of people making contact with things they didn't want to make contact with. Like, have you ever been accidentally sprayed with lighter fluid next to an open flame? Yeah. How about a whale landing on you while you're frolicking in the ocean? Or have a 112-mile-per-hour foul ball ricochet off your forehead at a baseball game, knocking you unconscious? Oh, and then there's angry customers that spit on you at work. We had all kinds of stories, but this all leads to today's question. It can be a fluid. It can be shrapnel. It can be a piece of building material. It can be your pet. It can be a vehicle. Today, we want to know, what unexpected thing made contact with your person?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, the Charles, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,171. What a large and in church program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, we'll be joined by Taryn Daly from the Daily Mix Morning Show. We will sit and spin. And today we get a little of the funny bone in us. I think as far as the genres of music is concerned, other than maybe children's songs, safe to say the country doesn't have a problem poking fun at themselves.
No.
Other things. Our rock and roll probably right up there, too. Some bands have had fun with things throughout the years.
Sure, sure.
But the country seems to lean on the, it's okay to laugh, and it's okay to have a song that's just absolutely ridiculous. So in honor, we have the 10 funniest country songs of all times coming up on Sit and Spin. What would you say are some of the songs that you remember growing up that were funny? Not necessarily in the country well, so to speak, but...
two that come to mind, honestly... One was intentionally funny, called Shaving Cream.
All right.
I remember from the 70s, basically. So, like, one of the lyrics is, my baby fell out of the window. You'd think that his head would be split. But luckily, outside of that window, there was a big pile of shaving cream.
Oh!
So, they just...
I see.
My brother and I thought that was great. And for whatever reason, what's the Doobie song? Blackwater. All right? So, when he's... Want to hear some funky Dixieland... I do not know why, but as a child, my brother and I thought that was the most hilarious line ever.
I loved My Ding-a-Ling. Remember that song?
Oh, I remember that.
Just the dumbest song in the world. My parents would put on
that
the oldies
hilarious.
Channel, and I was like, oh, My Ding-a-Ling. I love that song.
That's
I know
great.
What that song's about. It's about ding-a-lings.
Well, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, they had a song, too. Like, parents don't understand. It was pretty funny.
Sure.
And then they had an album where they had a song just about an old lady who, like, I can't remember, it was like, she needs to turn on her blinker or turn it off.
They're not wrong. 10 funniest country songs of all time is coming up. We will sit and spin. Also, some updated locations for you on the Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing. Hopefully, if you made it to one of the two Metallica shows on Friday and Sunday nights, you got a chance to enjoy one in the big yellow can. But some of the updated locations, as well as the complete list, if you're looking for the beer, is available at KISW.com. And today on the question, one unexpected thing made contact with your person. We brought you this story last week. A Rhode Island cop, he got arrested at Gillette Stadium in Massachusetts on Saturday for peeing on a random woman's cowboy boots at a Kenny Chesney concert. His name is Shane Lynch, and he was not on duty. He's just a Kenny Chesney fan. They were both standing in the pit by the stage when the woman felt a warm liquid hit her leg. She turned around and saw Shane with his zipper down. He had a Bud Light in one hand and his junk in the other, according to the woman. Security described him as extremely intoxicated. He was swaying back and forth. His pants were wet, and his eyes were almost closed. So they pulled him off to the side. Then while they were talking to him, he started peeing again.
Oh, wow.
He got arrested for disorderly conduct, but his case was dismissed after he agreed to pay $100 in court costs. Again,
that's it.
His case was dismissed. That's not even... You couldn't buy a pair of cowboy boots for $100.
Yeah.
The woman he peed on said her $180 boots smelled of urine and are no longer wearable. And it's not clear if he'll have to pay her back for those. The chief of police at his department in Cranston, Rhode Island, said an investigation is underway, adding that all officers know they're held to a higher standard, even when they're not on duty. I think all adults are held to a higher standard, regardless of their occupation.
Whether at work or not.
When they go to a concert, or when they go anywhere.
But when you get drunk, most of that goes out the window.
There you go.
I peed on someone once, by accident. Actually, I've done it more than once. I did it on a girlfriend because I was hammered and thought I was in the bathroom and woke up to her screaming, what the F are you doing? And then you kind of come to, and basically I'd gotten out of bed, turned around, just peed back into the bed where she's laying. So I'm like, hey, my bad. But we were, I don't know, 15, 16, whatever. We're drinking like peach schnapps and all that. We're in downtown Baltimore. Maybe 8 of us were effing around. So I sneak into the bushes to take a leak. There's a homeless dude laying in the bushes. I had no idea the guy was there. So I just whip out my junk, start taking a whiz. And hey! Scared, well, no pun intended, yeah, scared. Yeah. I jump back. This guy pops out of the bushes. We're like, what are you doing, man? It's like, I was sleeping. Like... My bad, dude. Seriously, I really did not mean to pee on you.
That's a different level.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's nothing you could do about that.
Yeah.
He was in the bushes.
Yeah,
I really didn't. I still felt bad.
A little squirt.
No one wants to wake up, you know, with pee. How about, if you've been to a sporting event and the guy at the urinal next to you, he's hitting that thing.
Yeah, and it's
like a power wand. You can feel it hitting your shins because you're wearing shorts.
I've given maybe a friendly squirt in the shower just as a joke, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just like,
he's fine.
The stadiums when you're wearing shorts, and then also when you go to like concerts in the summer.
I
like that they have the urinal option.
Sure.
But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like in the porta potty, that just sprays back.
It does. Oh, yeah. It definitely does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've definitely sprayed myself. Have you ever done a thing? You're taking a dump, right? So you're sitting down, you realize you got to pee, but you have not aimed your junk exactly where it needs to be, and basically you pee through the crack between the seat and the bowl.
No.
I have done this. I hit the back of my own cat. Like, I'm peeing because I'm sitting there pooping. Then I realize you were peeing on the back of your own legs.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much just as soon as I sit down, just tuck that guy down.
I have learned that since then, yes.
I've been to a festival before north of Baltimore City, and they do it used to be an old ski slope, but it's a park. It's like, I cannot remember the name of that joint. Either way, they had porta potty set up because the bathroom facilities were not big enough at that pavilion to be able to take care of all the people going to the show. I think it's Oregon Ridge, believe it or not. Maybe that's why I'm so confused. But anyway, I was there with a girl who was the girlfriend of my friend who I was there with. And this was the first time that actually it was a newfangled invention. But she comes out of the bathroom and I'm behind her and she goes, they have sinks in there now. There's just no running water. I'm going to bring a bottle of water in it next time to wash my hands.
All right.
And I walked in. I looked to the side. I was like, that is not a sink. That is a urinal. Now, they were relatively relatively new at the time. I don't know how many of those I'd seen either, but I was like, no, dude, that's a urinal. She's like, no, it's not. I'm like, it's
she was going to fill her water in that?
She was going to take a water bottle in next time so she could wash her hands in the sink.
Right, because she just sees it as a sink. There's no running water.
There's no running water.
Yeah.
And back then, they did not have the hand sanitizer in there because everybody wasn't COVID crazy.
Well, my daughter, she almost did the same thing. She's maybe 2 or 3 years older. It's like drag her into the men's bathroom, and I'm finishing peeing. She tells me she's done. I said, all right, just wash your hands and just meet me at the door. And I kind of glance over, and she's headed straight to the urinal, about to grab the urinal cake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, 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 no. And I mean, she's almost in tears. I'm like, baby, the thing that looks like a sink over there,
right?
Please use that one. Do not wash your hands in that urinal. Mm-hmm. And that's the last time I took her into the men's bathroom. That was the age I told my wife. I said, like, she's got to go into the women's bathroom now.
Now we go to lovely New Jersey, where Rose Simon was sunbathing on the Wildwood Beach on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon when the screaming started. People were screaming, you hit somebody. Somebody is under your truck. Stop. Simone recounted in a phone interview, everyone is just gathering around the area, and then the cop jumps out of his truck. A Wildwood police officer ran over a woman who was lying on a towel on the beach, and she was pinned under the vehicle in the sand. The police chief, Joe Murphy, confirmed to the press of Atlantic City that an officer ran over a woman while he was on duty and responding to an unspecified ordinance violation. The woman is expected to survive. She does have serious injuries, including broken ribs and vertebrae and a lung injury. Many bystanders gathered around the truck, some digging in the sand, others working to lift the front end of the full-size pickup truck off of her body. They were the ones who sprang into action. First responders then placed her on a backboard and into the back of a rescue vehicle that transported her across the beach to a waiting ambulance. Investigators remained on the scene for roughly an hour, taking photos, doing all that stuff. They said that the officer that ran over is normally assigned to the beach, and the vehicle was the department's Ford F-150. They did not identify the officer or the victim. A spokesman said that no one would be commenting on behalf of the city as the investigation was ongoing.
I mean, what are they going to say? Like, yeah, we rolled over top of a lady.
Mm-hmm. Simone said she noticed a woman earlier sitting in her clothes on the towel with a man who was swimming at the time of the accident. She was amazed that the truck had struck someone so close to her because she hadn't heard it approaching at all, though it was about 30 feet away. She was behind me. I didn't hear a sound until I heard people screaming.
Wow.
To be run over by a pickup truck.
On the beach,
while
man.
Enjoying the afternoon on the beach. That's good times. Then we have a story of a man who was stung 240 times by a swarm of wasps and said his local hospital saved his life. Andrew Powell is a festival organizer who lives near Brecon Powell's and said he was in agony after he was stung on Sunday. The 57-year-old had just returned from a bike ride and was feeding the chickens when the wasps swarmed at him.
That's why I don't feed chickens after a bike ride.
By the time I got back to my gate, which is probably four seconds.
That is why I've been saying it for years.
I know. Well, you always had that rule. It's just kind of funny.
Do not feed the chickens. That's it.
He said 4 seconds went by. He's covered. I went up the steps into my place, into the bathroom, put the shower on, and the bathroom was full of wasps. My girl Gina was throwing buckets of water on them, trying to get them off me. Shower's on full, and she said my back was a carpet of wasps. He thinks a nest may have been upset while a local farmer was combing his fields.
Yeah, think?
He said he didn't know if the wasps were still there, and he was too frightened to go outside. He said his local injury unit 100% saved his life, along with a friend who answered his call to take him there. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got there in the car, I don't think, because I was going in and out of consciousness. If there's no minor injuries unit, I would not be here. The MIU is currently open 24 hours, 7 days a week there. There have been calls locally for the health board proposals to be scrapped. They're thinking of cutting that back.
Yeah, like, maybe not. No.
Don't do that. The board is encouraging people to take part in the consultation to have their say on the proposed changes because incidents like this could happen 24 hours a day. There's no point in shutting this place down because it's the only available area, available for treatment. They say that to treat insect bites or stings is to put an ice pack wrapped in a wet cloth on it for at least 20 minutes if swollen. His injuries were a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
So he had to be admitted there to the hospital for a few hours.
I have been stung by hives of yellow jackets both times. I've been stung by bees individually, but both times I had to deal with yellow jackets. It was the hive. And one time they had moved their hive to a rotten tree stump in the backyard. I'm on the lawn, rolled over top of it. I had totally forgotten they were there. The back of my legs start getting lit up, and I turn around, and it's like a smoke monster, man. It's just all these yellow jackets. Ran my ass into the house. One, it hurt,
yeah.
But the venom didn't do anything. And the other time, we were actually in West Virginia, Miles, and I'm helping my buddy, I think it was his grandmother's cabin or something, but we're like trimming up just all the overgrowth and all this kind of thing. And I cut directly through the hive. I did not know what was there. But the bottom of it hits my feet, and it's just like black smoke pouring out of it. And I'm like, You've got to be kidding me. So I run back into the cabin, and I scream up to my buddy. I'm like, bees. He thought I said bear. So we got him. He goes into the back door. I come into the front, and I'm stomping around, swatting these things. And I see him popping the other side of the cabin, and he's like jamming a chair under the doorknob and all this. I'm like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, You said bear. I'm like, bees, man. That's why I'm swatting myself. Bees. He's like, oh, my
neighbor, he had a huge nest behind his house in a tree, and we determined that he was going to take this bad boy out, right? So he's got one of those tree trimming things.
Where long extension.
Yeah, it's got a string on it you pull, and it kind of can just snap the branch real quick.
Yeah.
So he puts this thing up there. We have a plan because his son is my age.
How old are you, the son?
Oh, probably 13, 14 years old.
I'm sure the plan was great.
But this thing just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It was actually a beautiful wasp, as far as the way it was wrapped, and it was big ass. And he's like, okay, here's the deal. He's like, you guys are going to go inside the kitchen dining area, and you are going to man the slider. I am going to pull this cord. We're going to rip this thing. When that thing hits the ground, I'm dropping this thing, and I'm running up like 4 steps, and then I am flying. So you need to open up the slider as fast as you can and close the slider. So the bees don't attack.
Okay, right? That's about what my plan would be.
He's about 15, 20 feet. It was in an apple tree, a crab apple tree. I'll never forget this. So he cuts this damn thing down, and it bounces off another branch and basically splits it in half because it fell like 4 or 5 feet. He just takes off running, man, and as soon as he gets to the slider, we open up the slider, we close it. A couple got in, but the entire door of the slider was covered in bees. And then, we're just kind of waiting around to see what happens. But this is the backyard. It's kind of got the front yard. There's no bees in there. Then all of a sudden, man, he goes into the living room for whatever reason. And there are bees that are now inside of the fireplace.
Oh, they're coming to get us.
What
did
they, go up down the chimney?
He did not have his flume closed for the summer, whatever the deal was. So now they're coming in.
Oh, no.
So he reaches in, man, and closes the flume real quick, man. And he got stung by 4 or 5 times, just his arms trying to close that bad boy. But, I mean, you've never seen more bees in one spot on a glass pane. The entire 2 panes of a slider were covered in bees, man. But it was wild.
How long were they there?
We just basically started playing video games, and we had dinner there, and then I left later on because I live next door. So basically, my thing was just I'm just hauling ass.
I'll just run out because I don't know what the deal is.
But they eventually just kind of they collected whatever they needed to collect from their nest, and they eventually just went away.
Yeah, eventually.
But still, man, that thing was like, it looked like a giant watermelon. That nest was huge.
I mean, outside of the flume, not a bad plan from this guy.
No. I mean, we just had to.
Everyone just made a mental note, check the flume before we do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We closed all the windows on the inside of the house, man. He took off running, man. You never seen some old man, like, book it that fast.
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
They say that swimming with a humpback whale is a bucket list experience for millions of people worldwide. But one whale experienced some enthusiasts got more of a thrill and a whole lot more last week. They were snorkeling with some humpback whales off Australia's Gold Coast. Basically, there were five or six people, and they were all on somewhat of a tow line as they were trying to stay close to the boat.
All right.
So they were using that line to all hold on to when they got close to the humpback whales. Then the humpback whales started to get curious about the snorkelers and decided to have a little fun and started throwing these snorkelers into the air with their tails. The video on YouTube, which has been shared by almost a million people, is hit by a whale. They spoke about their once-in-a-lifetime encounter. They said the whales were swimming in their vicinity for about 20 minutes, but kept getting closer and closer. When the moment happened, they were holding onto the tow rope in order to stay together. When all of a sudden, one of the whales basically hit their tow rope and kind of tried to flip it off as the rope was there.
All right.
However, all of these snorkelers were holding onto that rope. And one guy got the brunt of it as it flipped him about 10 to 15 feet into the air. So he has done a number of interviews on the unique experience, but closer than what they expected. Our question, what unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Scotty. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo.
How's it going, fellas?
Doing great, man. Thank you, brother.
So I'm kind of an avid motorcyclist, and some years back I was on my crotch rocket flying down I-90, and I had a massive dragonfly strike me right in the Adam's apple at like 160 miles an hour.
How bad did that hurt?
Oh, unbelievably. My eyes were watering. It was horrible. Almost wrecked. It was so bad.
Well, you were going 160 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was not good. So I thought that like the bug exploded on my neck, but I don't know if his leg or its wing, but it cut my throat. I was bleeding and everything.
How did you know it was a dragonfly? What evidence was there that this used to be a dragonfly?
There was a wing stuck in my collar of my shirt. So it was at random, and from then on, I've always worn like a face mask to cover my neck. What are the odds? You know?
Did you see it at all, or did you just feel it?
I saw it right at the last second. I saw something. I thought it was just, you know, a bug or, a leaf or something. But it felt like someone just friggin' karate chopped me right in the throat.
You never get, like, in a case of, like, the wobbles or anything going that fast?
Oh yeah, it happens from time to time.
That's terrifying.
When's the last time you rode that fast?
Oh, it's been years. I sold that bike years ago once I had my daughter. Kind of had to settle down a little bit.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, hell.
Yes.
I've got a 125cc scooter, whatever it is, 150. I still catch hell for that thing. About
just for
my daughter. Yeah, just like, I'm like, I don't ride it that much. You know, don't worry about it. She's like, well, you're going to die on that thing. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but I mean, I'm not going to get to a top speed of anything. She's like, no, someone's going to hit you, man, and tear you all up. And I'm like, well, you're not wrong, but, you know, I'm not like out on the highways or anything. And she's like, yeah, I know, but that's not where you're going to get hit. And I'm like,
that's when you look at your kid and say, man, I appreciate so much that you care so much about me. Shut up.
Yeah.
I think the closest calls I've had was riding groups of other scooters.
Really?
Yeah. How like, so? Just because when you're riding, like, next to each other, Or like if somebody in front of you decides to stop at a light.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? And you're still kind of cruising and they stop quick. Like, that's the closest. Normally, like, obviously cars are a little different at night because they don't they don't hear you coming all the time. But, you know, the closest I feel like I've ever really gotten to wrecking mine when I used to ride it was riding with other people.
Well, that was
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
I say that swimming with a humpback whale is a bucket list experience for millions of people worldwide. But one whale experienced some enthusiasts got more of a thrill and a whole lot more last week. They were snorkeling with some humpback whales off Australia's Gold Coast. Basically, there were five or six people, and they were all on somewhat of a tow line as they were trying to stay close to the boat.
All right.
So they were using that line to all hold on to when they got close to the humpback whales. Then the humpback whales started to get curious about the snorkelers and decided to have a little fun and started throwing these snorkelers into the air with their tails. The video on YouTube, which has been shared by almost a million people, is hit by a whale. They spoke about their once-in-a-lifetime encounter. They said the whales were swimming in their vicinity for about 20 minutes, but kept getting closer and closer. When the moment happened, they were holding onto the tow rope in order to stay together. When all of a sudden, one of the whales basically hit their tow rope and kind of tried to flip it off as the rope was there.
All right.
However, all of these snorkelers were holding onto that rope. And one guy got the brunt of it as it flipped him about 10 to 15 feet into the air. So he has basically done a number of interviews on the unique experience, but closer than what they expected. Our question, what unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Scotty. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo.
How's it going, fellas?
Doing great, man. Thank you, brother.
So I'm kind of an avid motorcyclist, and some years back I was on my crotch rocket flying down I-90, and I had a massive dragonfly strike me right in the Adam's apple at like 160 miles an hour.
How bad did that hurt?
Oh, unbelievably. My eyes were watering. It was horrible. I almost wrecked. It was so bad.
Well, you were going 160 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was not good. So I thought that like the bug exploded on my neck, but I don't know if it's leg or its wing, but it cut my throat. I was bleeding and everything.
How did you know it was a dragonfly? What evidence was there that this used to be a dragonfly?
There was a wing stuck in my collar of my shirt. So, it was at random, and from then on, I've always worn like a face mask to cover my neck. What are the odds? You know?
Did you see it at all, or did you just feel it?
I saw it right at the last second. I saw something. I thought it was just, you know, a bug or, I don't know, a leaf or something, but it felt like someone just friggin' karate chopped me right in the throat.
You never get like in a case of like the wobbles or anything going that fast?
Oh yeah, it happens from time to time.
That's terrifying.
When's the last time you rode that fast?
Oh, it's been years. I sold that bike years ago once I had my daughter. Kind of had to settle down a little bit.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, hell.
Yes.
I've got a 125cc scooter, whatever it is, 150. I still catch hell for that thing. My daughter, yeah. Just like, I'm like, I don't ride it that much, you know, don't worry about it. She's like, well, you're going to die on that thing. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but I mean, I'm not going to get to a top speed or anything. She's like, no, someone's going to hit you, man, and tear you all up. And I'm like, well, you're not wrong, but, you know, I'm not like out on the highways or anything. And she's like, yeah, I know, but that's not where you're going to get hit. And I'm like,
that's when you look at your kid and say, man, I appreciate so much that you care so much about me. Shut up.
Yeah.
I think the closest calls I've had was riding groups of other scooters.
Really?
Yeah. Just because when you're riding like next to each other, or like if somebody in front of you decides to stop at a light.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? And you're still kind of cruising and they stop quick. Like, that's the closest. Normally, like, obviously cars are a little different at night because they don't hear you coming all the time. But, Yeah, the closest I feel like I've ever really gotten to wrecking mine when I used to ride it was riding with other people.
Well, that was the, as far as the written part of the motorcycle certification, whatever you get.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I really had to study, was formational riding. Even though I'm not going to go out and ride with my scooter gang.
Mm. It's a club, Miles.
It's a club.
Different but, times, bro.
I did not know the proper way to ride tandem or with other people. And that, so, like, once I learned that, I was like, all right, well.
What were the rules as far as riding in groups?
As far as just being staggered, right. Not necessarily riding chip style, if that makes sense.
Right.
Not right next to each other.
Yeah, but, you know, just as far as who takes the inside, who takes the outside, all those different things.
Well, did chip set a bad precedent for the rest of us? Because one of the things about that show, at least for me, when I was a kid, man, during the opening sequence, you know, it shows them with the gloves, revving the throttle and all this kind of thing, but they always rode side.
Yeah.
By side.
Well, they just had
don't
another.
Police
they,
cops ride side by
yeah,
side
they do,
now.
And they just had another guy wreck. In like a Harris rally or something.
Oh, really?
So do you remember when we had whoever we had in last year, and some dude went over he went over the overpass on I-5. He got pushed aside because he was riding side by side, and he slid on the outside, hit the barrier, and you know I-5, the entire thing is basically elevated downtown.
Did he flip over?
He was on a ramp down closer to the stadiums. It went over and kind of came back onto I-5. He went over the damn thing.
Oh.
So riding side by side, yeah. I mean,
yeah. I'm trying to think, because I mean, I feel like you still see the MCs doing it, like the motorcycle clubs.
I think the club and definitely the cop, because just in downtown Seattle, right? We're fairly close to the police station, wherever it is, but you'll see them take off. I never give it two thoughts, but they're always side by side.
I think the difference between being in a motorcycle club and a motorcycle cop is, I don't know this, but if you're a motorcycle rider,
yeah.
That's all you do is ride your bike.
Sure.
So I'm not saying that, I mean, anywhere you go. So you're riding that thing. You're probably the most competent of anybody on two wheels on the road.
Just like generally,
I mean, just like an 18-wheeler. I feel safer being around those because they're professional drivers. People are like, oh, they're big and scary. Yeah, they are.
But that's why you're a professional driver.
Typically, you know what I mean, knows how to drive.
Yeah, like sometimes I get nervous when there's like a big U-Haul.
Or yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Or I used to do it, and like right, or like the RVs that you can rent. Like, I've done it, too, but, like, right, when you see, like, a bigger RV that's one they clearly just rent for the weekend, it's like...
Yeah, man.
Hope that guy's all right. Mm-hmm. Like, years ago...
Get around it.
Yeah, like, the one year we got an RV for Burning Man, like, our one buddy is a fireman and drives fire trucks.
Oh,
so
money.
We're like, you're driving this thing.
Yeah.
He had to know in advance he's going to be the driver, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dude, you know it's...
And you're going to put out any fire. What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Here's an interesting one. It says, I was at Evergreen Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
And an obese woman fell down the bleachers and pinned me into my seat. They were wooden bleachers. The EMS had to come cut her out and free my legs.
What, did she get stuck in between the seats?
I guess, bleachers? Man. They came tumbling down, landed on top of him, and yeah, I guess her big ass just got stuck in the bleachers. Never seen that. I have had a couple people hit me falling down the stairs, but it's usually in older stadiums. Where's the... Oh, man. Was it KC, maybe? I'm trying to think. One of our, hey, let's go see the Ravens play some more games, but it's an older stadium. And these stairs are so steep. Like, it even kind of freaked me out walking up it. But as the game goes on, out of corner seat, a guy maybe three rows up, and we're all drinking, right? So I understand that, but... He got tips. He started the fall, and there's just nothing he could do. But he ricocheted off of me and probably four or five other people on his way down before he came to a stop.
I've seen the person.
I think it happens a lot more than people realize. Because, I mean, I remember brother. I mean, he wasn't even 21, so it wasn't like he was drinking. But he went with, like, one of our uncles. And then, same thing, like, at the old, where the Capitals used to play. Like, just
Capital
tripped.
Center?
Capital Center, like, tripped or something. Hey, he ended up breaking his leg.
Oh.
And then... I dated a girl. She was at, what was it? It was something at a football stadium, but same thing. They had, like, come from work. Must have been, like, a preseason game or whatever.
Right.
So she was in heels and same thing.
Mm.
Like, tumbled down. And, I mean, you forget when you're going up there. Like, Husky Stadium, man.
That's a steep
one. Last year for the Cal game, I feel like we were almost to the top of the roof. Like, it is up there.
There's a few stadiums where just the pitch of the steps alone freaked me out.
The sphere,
man. On top of Bird Stadium. On the upper deck, to me, it's just like you're falling over. If you fell, you'd like land on the 50-yard lines. What if you... No, I mean, I'm exaggerating. Virginia Tech's got a stadium like that, where it's just straight up. I mean, it's crazy how high that
and they're generally
is.
Old, right?
I've seen people puke on people at a Seahawks game before.
I have seen that
they try
many
to puke,
times.
They try to puke between their feet.
You can't, man.
But it just splashes everywhere all over the back of the seats and the jackets and everything, the people in the next seat in front of you. So, like, it was a dad and his daughter. And, I mean, he is spewing vomit all over both of them.
The dad?
Dad and the kid in front of them.
They're puking
them and made them puke.
The guy in my row is trying to puke between his legs.
Yeah.
As it hits the concrete, it's just splashing all over the back of this dad and this daughter.
And that made them puke.
It did not make them puke. They were just covered in his puke.
Ah, okay.
And like turn around, dude. You know, then the usher came, kicked those two guys out. You know, it was a whole to-do in my row back in the day. This is the Hasselback years, you know.
Oh, yeah, back then.
Things are crazy.
Things are wild.
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, that's pretty intense if you're that hammered at a game that you're just puking off.
Well, Miggs gave me the heads up. He's like, look, man, I got season tickets. You can have them, but I just want you to know the people that you're sitting around are freaking nuts.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I can handle nuts. It's not a big deal. Then I was like, oh, man, he wasn't kidding. I know why he moved now. Like, I know why he took, like, I'm going to move down there a little farther because these guys are idiots. What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Gary. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, my brothers.
Hola.
All right. Back in the late 90s, I was serving active duty at Fallon, Nevada, and I was out goose hunting with a bunch of my buddies. We had our dogs. It was zero dark 30s. We go rolling in to set up in our little trenches and our hidey holes, and it's like, you know, I'm wearing full camouflage. I got hoodie on. It's full camouflage fleece. It is like 17 degrees out. And I hear this light whoosh, whoosh, and then something hits the back of my head, and I freak, and I turn around, and I see this owl, a great horned owl, had landed on my head and now is backpedaling away from me because he realized I'm not the bush. I'm a real person.
I'm a real bull.
How big was that owl? Those are huge.
Oh, his wingspan was probably 36 inch, 3 feet. I mean, he was huge. He's a great horned owl. I'm just glad he didn't latch into me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
That'd been terrible.
Oh, they can pick up a rabbit, man. Take back off.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. It was crazy. And it was dark out. It was crazy.
How much did the thing weigh when it first made contact with your head?
You know, it was really, it actually was like it was coming in to land and pick something up, like it was going to pick the top of my hoodie up. So it didn't hit me. It didn't, you know, I didn't feel it other than the slight grab and then the back and then the whoosh, the back pedaling. Because you don't hear owls.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're known for, man.
You can hear them sometimes when they drop initially out of a tree. Because the weight just takes them down. I've seen one fall out of a, not fall, but just going for
right,
whatever.
Just drop whatever.
But they just drop like a bomber. And then they just cruise at a foot off the ground or whatever until they find their chipmunk or mole or whatever they're going for, pick it up, and then take off, man. Like, you know, like a short runway airplane would just nose up like John Wayne.
We had a conversation about this the other day. We were a bunch of us adults were sitting around a friend's house, and one of our friends, his son has a pet rabbit, and his mother got him the pet rabbit while our friend was out of town. Basically, that's his explanation. He's like, I got the phone call that said, hey, there's a guy at the park giving away free bunnies. He was like, good for that guy. Do not get a rabbit. She's like, well, our son, he's really excited about it. He's like, I understand that. Do not get a rabbit. He came home, and now he has a pet rabbit. So he's talking about this rabbit. Anyway, so later that night, as we're just conversing about whatever, all the kids had been at his house, and they have this weird look on their face, and we thought they were going to say they're missing one of the other kids, right? So they're like, hey, we can't remember the rabbit's name, but we can't find the rabbit. And he's like, look, man, this is at night, right? So he's like, don't worry about it. The rabbit gets out on occasion, but always comes back home. And keep in mind, he's not a fan of this rabbit. So the kids wander away. They're going to go look for the rabbit again. We're like, yeah, cool. He seriously doesn't care. He looks at all of us and goes, man, there's owls in the neighborhood, too. I'm hoping one of those sons of bitches comes down and snatches them up. And then we started talking about all the things, you know, owls, coyotes in the neighborhood. We have bobcats roaming around, Ted, just so you know.
I did not know that.
They are in my understanding is generally closer to your place in the park than my place.
All right.
That's one of the sightings. Coyotes are up by me, but the owls are out in force. So he is hoping and praying that an owl snatches this damn rabbit up. Well, lo and behold, about 45 minutes later,
kids show back up. Oh, we found the rabbit. He was so disappointed. He really felt like this is my moment to get rid of the rabbit without me being responsible for it. Because we're brought up, it's like, dude, the raccoons, the coyotes, the bobcat, the owl, surely something is going to snatch up your damn rabbit and eat it. And he's like, I'm hoping so. Did not work out that way.
I haven't seen much since COVID. Man, with COVID, I could not believe.
What do you mean?
Well, I watched two coyotes walk up my street. This is downtown Fremont.
Yeah.
And just nobody was out there. So it just seemed like there were more rabbits everywhere. There was more raccoons roaming around.
The amount of rabbits, because I was still on Capitol Hill, it was shocking. I had never seen a rabbit. And then when COVID, yeah, all of a sudden, like, every time I'd walk home from work, there was just rabbits everywhere.
I got a million of them in my yard, man. I mean, I guess the coyotes were probably snatching up part of it, but they have no problem repopulating. And as he explained to me, because his wife said, well, one of the things about the rabbits, I said, is it cool to have a rabbit? Do they do anything? Right? Can you play with them? Do they truly interact? And I said, like, a little bit. They're a little temperamental, whatever. And she pointed out, well, if he sees someone he doesn't like, he sprays. So it might be the sofa, it could be outside, whatever, just sprays. I'm like, all right, well, you know, cats will do that sometimes, dogs. And he goes, no, man, not urine. I'm like, what? Semen.
What?
Oh, yeah. Apparently that's a maneuver that rabbits have in their...
Look out!
Oh, and he said basically that's what he said. It's not that they're using their paws or anything. He just said they walk up, say what's up, and so if they don't like...
That's wild.
I was like, why do you have this as a pet? And he goes, that's why I want the owl to snatch it up. He's like, I don't want this as a pet. He's like, this thing, I cannot use this terminology, but has sprayed the sofa on several occasions. I'm like, with rabbit semen. He's like, yes! He's like, it's in my home, man. I'm like, rabbits are out for me. Once I heard that, I'm like, nope, we will never, ever, ever, ever have a rabbit.
Every person who attends a Major League Baseball game in person does so knowing they need to keep their head on a swivel, thanks to the balls that make their way into the stand on a fairly regular basis.
And bats.
That's true.
And they all have signs.
And believe it or not, it's been a little bit of a slow crawl, but the MLB has slowly but surely adopted some new rules that have resulted in protective netting that cover a larger percentage of ballparks to mitigate the potential danger of a foul ball. Minor league clubs will have to cover the entirety of the foul line by the time the 2025 season starts.
Wow.
So that's already a mandate. But there are still plenty of scenarios where things can take a turn for the worse if you are not careful. That brings us to what unfolded when the Twins faced off against the Rays at Tropicana Field on Labor Day. According to BroBible.com, Minnesota was down by a run with guys on first and second in the top of the second when it got a momentum shift, courtesy of Trevor Larnach, who took full advantage of an 86-mile-an-hour slider and hit it down the heart of the plate, sending it 368 feet into the stands in left field. The ball rocketed off the bat at 112 miles an hour while making a beeline for a fan in the front row who tried to make a two-handed, bare-handed snag in front of his face. But ultimately, the ball went through both his hands and hit him square in the forehead and knocked him out unconscious in the stands. A spectator in the vicinity captured other fans summoning for medical assistance in the immediate wake of the incident. But according to the Twins, the man was not seriously injured, eventually woke up, and had Larnach sign the offending ball during a meet and greet where he got to meet him and also gave him a bat for the misfortune of being hit in the head. But if you see this guy, it's amazing to watch him just collapse in just like a puddle of goo.
Right.
He takes one straight off the face, man, and it knocks him clean out.
How does he still get the ball? I mean, no, look, I've seen people snatch it from children.
That's not
yours. If it hits you on the forehead, he's unconscious. I mean, I would grab it and hand it to my son. I wouldn't keep it for me, but if my kid was
there. I think you still got to give it to the dude that got knocked out by it. At that point, it's higher ranking to give it to him than a child.
Because he got knocked out.
Yeah.
I mean, if he just would have taken one off the dome and, you know, to ricochet or whatever, right? Ah, he looks all right, so what?
So if he goes unconscious, he gets to keep the ball. If he just takes it to the head but stays conscious, then it's free.
He gets
free
knocked rain. Out, the ball's his.
If I ever get hit by a ball, I'm going to pretend that it knocked me out.
I mean, I think I'd give it to him even if it didn't knock him out. Just like, geez, dude, all right, here.
I mean, I would, unless my kid's there. Because I'd be like, hey, man, keep this ball. This is the ball that hit that dude, the stranger, in the forehead and knocked his ass out. Remember that game?
Man, you're right, Miles. I had not watched that yet.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he just takes it to the dome, and he's down. Our question, what unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.